Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship on the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, September 9. Our homilist today is Bishop Jean. And now let us take a few moments to open our hearts and our minds to Almighty God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, beginning at the first verse. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround his people from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who do good, and those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside in their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Lord, surround your people with your presence. Do not let us stretch out our hands to evil deeds or be destroyed by the snares of the enemy, but bring us to share the land prepared for the saints in light, where you live and reign, God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of James, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there, or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit a sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said you shall not commit adultery also said you shall not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So by faith itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and he touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May these words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Today's readings offer some powerful teachings around the poor. As a child, I often heard my mother encourage us children to be generous because God loves the poor, as she would tell us. She would appreciate today's readings, I'm sure. Proverbs cautions us, "Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord pleads their cause and despoils the life of those who despoil them." This interesting verse shows us where God stands. The Lord God's self pleads the case of those who are poor or afflicted. The Lord is their defender. When we take advantage of the poor or make the lives of the afflicted harder, not only will the Lord take up their cause, the Lord will despoil those who work against the poor and needy. Big. Despoil means to loot, to plunder, to steal, to take by force, to ravage. There's an element of strength and power to it. And the verse tells us that the Lord God's self will despoil the life of those who despoil the poor and afflicted. So I took a look at some of the translations of Scripture to get a better understanding of what happens when God acts in defense of the poor. The New Living Translation says God will ruin anyone who ruins them. The Contemporary English Version says, "The Lord is their defender, and what you do to them, he will do to you." The International Standard says, "The Lord will plead their case and ruin the lives of those who ruin them." The New American, "The Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them." The New International Version says the Lord will exact life for life. To hurt the poor or afflicted is to incur God's wrath and action on their behalf. And God acts mightily. Depending on the translation, what we do to the poor or to the afflicted, God will do the same to us. God will ruin us in our lives. Some of those translations are faithful to the pre-Jesus eye for an eye days and tell believers that God will even take our life. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Old Testament covenant creator is going to smite us into next week, as the words imply, but we do have to take them seriously. Hurting the poor carries consequences, not only to our souls and our spiritual welfare, but to our well-being here on earth. We cannot behave heartlessly and carelessly to the poor, the sick, the needy, without our insensitive, uncompassionate behavior wreaking havoc on the circumstances of our life. Being a warm and loving, being a good Christian is incompatible with ignoring the needs of the poor in trouble. We may convince ourselves that we really are a good Christian, even when we behave so badly. But convincing the Lord of that is another story entirely. And the readings today suggest that we will fail in the effort. I think we can count on failing when we look at today's readings from James. He begins highlighting a problem that we see around us, even centuries after he wrote, that of inequality. He gives us a situation that we've probably observed as well. Two people enter, one well-dressed, the other shabby. And James notes the different treatment the two receive. One is given a place to sit with respect, and the other one is told to stand or perhaps sit on the floor. Which one got the seat? We know. We've seen it happen all our lives. Wealth gets more respect. These days, the poor are even regarded as villains or scammers, lazy bums who get what they deserve, and even worse. James saw the same unfair treatment of the poor all those years ago, and he called the community on it. If we truly love our neighbors as ourselves, we will not dishonor the poor or refuse to help them. Like the writer of Proverbs, James makes the point strongly, writing in verse 9, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And he continues, we will be held accountable for our action and will be judged by the law of liberty. In the second chapter, he refers both to the commandment Jesus gives us to love our neighbor as ourselves, as well as the law of liberty. What is that law of liberty? Last week, in chapter 1, James refers to the perfect law that gives freedom, which is just another word for liberty. He's telling us that we will be judged by that law of freedom and liberty, the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is what we will be judged on. How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? James tells us when we see a brother or sister in need and do not help them, we're failing to follow that perfect law and will be judged by it. He writes, what good is it, my brothers or sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says, go peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and do nothing, and yet you do not support their bodily needs, where's the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. What he's saying is that there is no faith without works. If we proclaim faith and favor the rich, if we fail to feed the hungry, clothe the needy, visit the sick and imprisoned, welcome the stranger, all the beautiful works of charity that Jesus mentions in the parable of the sheep and the goats. If we simply proclaim the faith and do nothing about it in terms of helping those with need, then we have no faith at all. It's dead. And that so-called faith has no power to save us. Because when we deny the poor our help, God himself becomes our accuser, the prosecutor defending the poor. God sees into each heart and cannot be deceived, and we will be judged. Judgment is generally bad news because we're sinners. Sometimes, as much as we want to do the right thing, we do give in to anger, to resentment, to favoritism, to greed. So judgment, something we need to consider. But there's hope for us, and James gives us the key. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if we show mercy, our judgment by God, we'll be merciful. If we care for the poor, feed the hungry, help those who need our help, then we receive God's mercy. For if God loves the poor, then how much does he love those who are a friend to the poor? His own son shows us by his example in today's gospel as he heals the deaf mute and frees the woman's child from the demon. The Son of God, filled with compassion, aids even the Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. The Pharisees would not appreciate his healing a non-Jewish woman's child, as they regarded the Gentiles as sources of defilement. To the Pharisees, only the Jews were loved by God. The Gentiles didn't count at all. There's that favoritism James wrote about, this time regarding not the wealth, but the faith tradition, that elitism. Jesus, however, demonstrated God's all-compassing love for every person. When we follow his lead, caring for others without regard for their wealth, or their status, or their faith tradition, or any of the other standards by which people are excluded and considered less than, we show mercy. That mercy is the expression of our living, vibrant faith. Through our generosity, we obtain God's mercy, and we need his mercy badly because we're sinners. So helping the poor and the needy is the way we avoid the harsh judgment described in Proverbs. Helping the poor is the surest way to obtain God's mercy when we need it. By showing mercy to others, we are assured of God's mercy to us. What a comfort it is to know that we can approach the throne of God confident in his merciful embrace and welcome, because we've shared his merciful love and compassion with his struggling children. God calls us today to do more than pray for the poor, to do more than love them in our hearts. He calls us today to get up and get busy. He calls us today to hasten to do good, to be truly the hands and feet and heart of Christ, comforting God's people. So don't be afraid to be generous. Give freely and joyfully of your riches and your time, of your compassion and forgiveness, of your kindness and your patience and your talent, and whatever gift you have to help the poor or the troubled. You will be richer by far for your offering. We have Christ's word on it. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear and have mercy. We pray for all who confess the name of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for those whose lives are bound in mutual love, and for those who live in celibacy. Be their joy and their strength.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all in danger, for those who are far from home, prisoners, exiles, victims of oppression, grant them your salvation.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all who are facing trials and difficulties, for those who are sick, those who are dying, show them your kindness and mercy.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for one another. May we always be united in service and love.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray to be forgiven our sins and set free from all hardship, distress, want, war, and injustice.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we discover new and just ways of sharing the goods of the earth, struggling against exploitation, greed, or lack of concern. May we all live by the abundance of your mercies and find joy together.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we be strengthened by our communion with all Christ's saints.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
Let us glorify the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise him and highly exalt him forever. In the firmament of his power, glorify the Lord. Praise him and highly exalt him forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.